Dear God, I thank you for each person here. Thank you that they carved out the time to come and corporately worship you. And just to remind themselves and maybe their children the focus of this season, the coming of your Son, God in the flesh, to offer his life for our sins so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be saved, so we could be set free. Lord, we are grateful for this precious gift. And I just ask for your blessing to be experienced by each person here today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, I don't know about you, but I usually don't watch a commercial multiple times. Usually kind of endure a commercial. But there's one that's popped up in my Facebook feed that I've watched multiple times. And I have thoroughly enjoyed it because it's this commercial about what looks like just some sunglasses. And you watch these many times grown men put on these sunglasses, and what the product is that it allows a person who's colorblind to see color. And you watch their reactions as they get to see color for the first time, and it's really, I found it very moving. I don't know how you would do such a thing, but, and I just am intrigued by, you know, several older men are in this commercial, and, you know, like one of them, he just weeps, and he keeps putting them on and taking them off and looking, and another older man, he looks every direction he possibly can and then just begins clapping like a small child. A teenager who had never seen color, he said, "This is what the world looks like?" And I just found it very moving. And I honestly, it reminds me of how different and how a change in perspective, how when we see Jesus and we look at life through Jesus Christ and his gift, the gift of himself, how it changes everything, how it colors all that we see and all that we do. About 700 years before God the Son became God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, the prophet Isaiah said this. He wrote in Isaiah 9:6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Now, I don't want to unpack all of those titles or names for Jesus, but I want to focus on the last one, the Prince of Peace. Because at least for me, when I read that, the others kind of point to that. And Prince of Peace feels like, in a sense, the climax of that list. Because in Christ and in these names, we find comfort and we find encouragement. Author Warren Wiersbe says about these various names of Jesus, he says, "Every name that he bears is a blessing that he shares." There's something about each name that Jesus is given. I mean, the name Jesus means basically God saves. It teaches us something. It shares something about the gift that he is. You look at Wonderful Counselor and you think about the fact that eternal heavenly wisdom is available to us. You see a term, a title like Mighty God, and you see that power is available to us through Jesus. Or one of my favorites, Everlasting Father, that we're offered unconditional everlasting love through Jesus. And when you see all those and kind of combine those, of course we can walk in peace. We can have that. Now, when we think about our greatest problem, ultimately, when it comes down to it, when we stand before God, our greatest problem is our sin problem with God. But see, peace means, literally, adequate resources. See, we get all anxious, we get upset, we struggle when we don't feel like we have adequate resources. If a bill shows up and you have the money for it, you don't sweat it, you don't worry about it, because you have adequate resources. Peace is about having adequate resources. In Jesus Christ, we have adequate resources for life and for the next life, for heaven itself. And see, our greatest problem is sin, and yet Jesus came, lived out the law perfectly, took that perfect life, offered it on a cross, paid the penalty for our sin, died, rose from the dead, and with that crushes the head of Satan, crushes the claim against each and every one of us, so that we can experience the fullness of eternal life and peace with God. And we don't just have peace with God, we have peace with our circumstances. Most of us have had difficult moments, difficult seasons in our life. And when we look at the cross, we see that this greatest injustice ever done, this perfect person executed as a common criminal, was not only allowed by God, but arranged by God and transformed by God into the very means by which we are offered salvation. And if God can take the cross, this grave injustice that free will decisions led to, if he can take that and make it the means by which we're saved, what can he do with the pain and the suffering and the difficulty and the challenges in our lives? And so we can live life with expectation. See, often out of our greatest pain and suffering and difficulty becomes our greatest ministry. Those who have had great loss can come alongside of those who have experienced loss. And so it's important that we see that we can have peace, that we can have adequate resources for life, whatever our circumstances might be. The Old Testament, when it talks about peace, talks about wholeness. And it's walking through life, not broken in pieces, but experiencing the wholeness and the adequate resources to live life to the fullest. See, the birth of Jesus clearly was difficult for Mary and Joseph. Mary watched her husband-to-be not believe her. The scripture says he was going to divorce her quietly, but he decided not to when an angel clarified what was going on, that she was going to have the Messiah. This was a miracle child, and Mary had not done anything wrong. But then Joseph and Mary, because of the Romans who were oppressing the Jews, who had conquered the Jews, because they ordered a census, they had to travel, you know, in ancient times without cars, without all of our ability to travel easily, and they had to travel like 70, 80 miles to Bethlehem, to his ancestral home. And here she was, it's not just all that travel and the inconvenience of it, but here she is at the end of her pregnancy. Some of you ladies have traveled when you're at the end of your pregnancy, and it's not real pleasant. Some of you have traveled with pregnant wives at the end of pregnancy. It's not always that pleasant. Saw a cartoon I liked this week, and it had Mary and Joseph in the stable, and it had Joseph apologizing. He said, "I'm so sorry, Mary, that I didn't make reservations at the inn before I left." And she looks all angry. And down below it says, "The reason for the silent night." And I enjoyed that. See, peace is not just an emotion. It is a confidence based on the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we have adequate resources for this life and for the next. And so that adequate resources, it gives us peace. When you're driving along, if you have a full tank of gas, you feel peace. And when I plug in my car at night when it's cold, I love the power cords that have the light up end. Why? Because I have peace. I know that the electricity is getting to that car and that it's going to start in the morning. And when we go through life, I want you to rest deeply in the peace that the Prince of Peace offers us. It's kind of like the ocean. You know, on the top of the ocean, you can see wind that whips across at 40 miles or even 100 miles per hour. You can see waves that rise up 20, 30, 50 feet, and that would be a nightmare. I mean, maybe you've had that experience I have where you go out of Valdez and you're going to fish and a little bit of a storm comes up and it is unpleasant. And those waves are really going. But you know, if you could go down deep, you know, just a couple hundred feet into the ocean, it would be still. Because it's not on the surface. So if we can walk and live a life in the depth of the relationship with God offered in Jesus Christ, we can have that peace. Jesus once said in John 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives." He gives us a peace that even our greatest challenges. I'm a volunteer chaplain at the hospital, and so often I will get called. Like this week I got called when somebody died and went in, and you just walk into those situations and pray with people. And I will tell you that Jesus is the ultimate resource in those moments. We all face death someday, and he is the ultimate resource. He conquered death through his resurrection. And so we can look forward, if we have placed our trust in him, to an eternity of joy and peace and deep relationship with God. Dallas Willard once said this. He said, "Peace is the rest of will that results from assurance about how things will turn out." When we look at the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can have a rest of the will, a deep confidence of how things will turn out if we will just place our trust in Jesus Christ. I'm going to say a prayer, and then our worship team's going to come up, and I have a few people I've asked to help with the lighting of the candles. They're going to come up as well. And what those lighters will do is they'll walk down the aisles and they'll light the candle of the person on the end of the aisle. And so I want you to, when they light your candle, to turn and light the candle of the person next to you. And we'll get everybody's candle lit hopefully very quickly. And the worship team's going to close us out in a song as we just celebrate Jesus Christ, the light of the world, the Prince of Peace, who steps into our darkness, who steps into our difficulties, who steps into our circumstances, and gives us adequate resources, gives us peace. Let me pray. Dear God, I thank you for each person here. I thank you that we don't have to go through life with anxiety and worry. We don't have to walk in our guilt or experience deep shame for the things that we have done. Lord, we know that you invite us into your family, that your Son has made peace with us, and you offer us an adoption into that family. We get to sit at your table. We get to experience your love. We get to be in a place of eternal peace. Lord, we thank you for this in the name of Jesus. Amen.